When you hear about Somalia in the news, it's often a story of war, destruction, and suffering. But there is much more to Somalia than this. Somalis love music, culture, and sport. And of all sports, basketball.
It's very interesting. You would hear 17, 19-year-old young person would come up and ask, oh, I didn't know there was a basketball in Somalia. Women play too? That to me sometimes is shocking, because the Somalia they've watched from TV and they know, as of currently today, it's not one that women are able to wear shorts and play basketball and have teams and so forth. So we do spend some time sort of educating them and letting them know that life was completely different as we grown up.
I'm a huge basketball fan. So I was curious to speak with former members of the Somali national basketball team. These players had to flee their homeland in 1991 during the Civil War, finding refuge across the globe. But what's remarkable is how these athletes, separated by war, found each other again. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Today, I'll explore how Somalia's Civil War turned its top basketball players into refugees and how basketball brought them back together. I'm Alan Kasuja, and this is Africa Daily. From the war-torn streets of Mogadishu to the serene town of Ashland, Oregon, in the United States, former stars of Somalia's national basketball team reunite every year to play the game they love and to reconnect. It all started in 1991 when civil war broke out in Somalia, and overnight, the dreams of these athletes were shattered. The players of Somalia's national basketball team, once the pride of a nation, were suddenly refugees scattered around the world. The national stadium in Mogadishu, which once echoed with cheers, became an army base as the country plunged into decades of violence. Only recently, the stadium saw its first major sports event in 30 years. Somalia continues to face violence and insecurity from groups like Al-Shabaab, making it difficult for many to return home. Today, each summer, dozens of former players and fans make their way to Ashland. They come from places like Atlanta, Seattle, Ottawa to share memories, stories, and of course to play basketball. The event is organized by Abdiaziz Guled, a former player who once herded goats in Somalia before his basketball talent earned him a scholarship in the U.S. His memories of Somalia are untouched by war, and now, as a youth advocate in Ashland, he has made it his mission to bring his old teammates together each year. I had the chance to speak with Abdiaziz and two other former players who attended the reunion. Safia Omar, who played for the women's team and now lives in Oakland, California, and Abukar Shino, a former player and coach who lives in Canada's capital city, Ottawa. Safia starts by sharing her life in Somalia before she had to leave.
I have a fond memory growing up in Somalia. I was born in Mogadishu. I grew up there. Abukar Shino was my coach who taught me how to play basketball since I was 12 years old. I went to school there, elementary and middle school. I have a fond memory, beautiful place, beautiful beaches, peaceful country. You could walk anywhere, anytime. When I see time to time now on TV or even the news in Somalia, I grew up a different Somalia than what I get to experience at the moment. But my journey started playing basketball in the middle school. I was lucky enough to be one of the last team that the government sends outside to the country in 1990, sometime October and November, to play Zone 5. And it was held that year in Ethiopia. And as we were coming back, stopping by in Jomo Kenyatta Airport, our plane didn't show up. December 28, December 29. I remember spending our New Year's at the airport because we refused. The plane showed up the next day. The pilot told us, don't go back. Either you will be raped or killed at the airport if you go back.
Just listening to that story and reflecting, Abu Kashino, I wonder, do you remember Sophia as a child training her? She says you trained her from when she was 12 years old.
Yes, I met her when she was very, very young, and she was wandering around the club. Then somebody introduced her to me, and then they said she interested in basketball. And then from there, that day until she became one of the best in the club, which was Mogadishu Club. She was very smart and she was very active. I realized that she will go somewhere and all the way to the, you know, one of the best in Somalia. Then after that, life was different in Somalia, and we left, all of us, we left Somalia.
What was your ambition as a coach back then? What did you want to become eventually? What was your dream? You were coaching a lot in Somalia, but was it just that you wanted to coach Somalis, or did you have huger dreams than that?
My dream was to, as a player, to reach the highest level, basketball level, as possible. But I didn't reach that dream. But even though I was one of the best in the national team, and I was in the national team playing basketball for 10 years, the coaching was something that I didn't want to be a professional coach, but I wanted to help these kids, boys and girls, get them somewhere.
Right, that's very fascinating. You know, when we were growing up and we were playing basketball, we wanted to play in the NBA or to go to an American college with a scholarship. And I wonder if this was the case with you, either Safia or Abdi Aziz. I'm just wondering, so the war starts in Somalia. You can't go back. You're advised to leave. Where did you want to go, Safia, and to do what? What were your options?
Well, at the time, we remained at the airport for 10 days. We made it January on the newspaper. The Somali national team, once a national team, now a refugee. While we were in refugee, we got recruited. And I play KO Commercial Bank and Backless Bank for a short period of time while I was at the refugee camp in 1991. There wasn't a lot of choices where to go. I had family in the U.S. My father was a citizen here, so it wasn't really complicated for me. I was able to come 6-7 months afterwards.
Right. What about you, Abdi Aziz?
I was a goat herder. I never dreamed of, you know, going anywhere other than just taking care of my goats. I remember looking out, herding my goats in the city of Luq, outside of Luq, in Gedo region, and just thinking about the sea mountains and saying, behind those mountains, there's nothing. The world ends there. So my first schooling was Italian nuns. Imagine being a goat herder and then coming to learn Italian in Baidoa, the city of Baidoa, and just keep doing it. So what I did was I just did my best, whatever. If you're a goat herder, herd your best. If you're learning Italian, just do your best, whatever. So I kept that momentum, and that really carried me. And when I came to the Mogadishu and played basketball there, I just remember being a nomad. It's just, you have to try your best, everything. And this opportunity showed up for me to go to United States. And I said, you know, why not? We already traveled to Morocco and Jordan, the country of Jordan, and Mozambique. And we just had the goat herder is going all over these places. So why not America? So I did that, and I just, opportunity just opened up for me. So I'm very fortunate to have this opportunity. And Coach Pete Berry, who used to coach here, now he retired in Connecticut, really helped me, to give me the chance. And I wish all the United States and the coaches, when they go to the third world country, to help those young and athletes who want to be, just change their life and enjoy the game they're doing.
Right. And I'm now interested in pivoting towards the reunion story. How did you reunite in the United States? Abdiaziz, it was your idea to bring people together. Tell me the backstory of all that and how you're able to round up all these people.
And Safia first, she had it in Minnesota. She used to gather people and take care of them there. And then when I came back here to my town, and I work with kids here, student leadership in Oregon and summer camps, and I've seen, and also the national leadership with the student council. When I see kids get together and the enjoyment that they get one other than they're going back home, I just said, that would be nice if we can have our friends here sometimes. So we started with 5-6 guys, came here from Seattle. We just hang out and just play basketball, then sightseeing, you know, going different places, and then stories telling and all this. Next thing we know, it's just everybody starts, almost 70, 80 people showing up. And my wife, Mary, Mary Foster here. She just made the schedule for us, and we just follow that schedule, and we just play basketball, hiking to Pacific Crest Trail. It's a trail that goes like 3-4 miles. We won't walk the whole thing. It is the trail that goes from Mexico to Canada, but it goes through by our town. Sometimes we do horseback ride, which is dangerous sometimes, but we just had a fun time, and that's how the idea started. And it was like 2003, I think we started, and it's been going on, and you never know who shows up.
Right. And Sophia, how did you hear about it?
At the time, I lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm a community organizer / I'm a professional social worker at the time. So I did this community gathering when I lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We would get together. We will, you know, work with the youth. There was a lot of coaches, a lot of Somali coaches in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We will make sure, you know, the young people that lived in Minneapolis and the surrounding were able to know and have some sort of camaraderie in terms of being a Somali, that living in the Midwest. So we created in 1999, 2000, a way the Somalis can come together, regardless of where they live, whether they live in Canada, whether they live amongst the 50 states. And I work for the Somali community of Minnesota. So we funded the program. We would host teams to come and compete soccer and basketball for 3 days. And then we would have, at the end of that 3 days, you know, celebration. And we sort of built it from there. Abdi came in 2000. We were able to host it 2001. And the idea just came from there. Somali's a nomad. So it's a word of mouth. You would hear, oh, there's this big basketball and a soccer tournament that takes place middle of the summer every year. And people will make the trip. People came from the UK, the Netherlands, as far as Australia, around the world, just to be amongst their people.
And if I may ask you, Abukar, I wonder, how important was it for you to be able to find that sense of community so far away from home, having been away for so long?
When Safiya and Abdi and other guys, they told me about the Ashland gathering in Ashland, I accepted it right away, and we went there. And the place is very special. And I couldn't believe how many players, old players and their families come together there. At the time, the first time I get there was more than 70 or 80 people there. And I couldn't believe it. It was a place where we talk about the past. We talk about the basketball, you know, era long time ago. And then we energize ourselves and go back to where we belong at this moment, which is Canada, or everybody goes to his city and then go back to work. And then, you know, it was unbelievable. Whoever come up with this idea, like Abdi and Safiya and other guys, it was really fantastic. And I'm really looking forward the years to come now to do the same thing.
And Abdi, when you think about your initial idea and what it has become, because I'm sure there are people who look forward to it, whose only contact with home might be this sense of community. Are you surprised at how much it has grown and what it has grown into?
Yes, because to see all these people get together, I just sit back and watch, let them do their things. I know, living in here in the big cities that they come from, and when I visited also a big city, I feel there how they feel to be relaxed here. Like Abukar said, there's no far away to go. They just sit together and talk and get to know one another and just rejuvenate. I just see that few minutes staying away from their busy life and being a Somali and African, and just, as you know, we like to talk, we like to walk, we like to look at each other, and just without interruption. So I'm just amazed how we all amazed, all of us are amazed how big it became, and people are just, whoever can come, it's not, and they pay their own expenses. It's not like I'm gaining anything out of this. They're just, and they are coming with their own things and just want to be here. And that's a wonderful thing. It's just unbelievable. And if we can continue this, we'll see our friends and then their kids and their kids' kids. It's just unbelievable. Right now, we used to play a lot of basketball, but now we just tell stories and let our kids play and watch them.
You're listening to the BBC's Africa Daily podcast with me, Alan Kasuja. We just heard from Abdiaziz Guled in Ashland, Oregon, the organizer of this unique reunion of Somali basketball players who fled during the Civil War in 1991. Next, I asked Safiya Omar to share what this reunion and community mean to her especially as someone with strong ties and cherished memories of her life back in Somalia.
I started just me, and 22, 23 years later, I have three kids and my husband. So to start there, it has a very special place for me. It's almost a retreat. Every year when we go there, it's 3, 4, 5 days. You relive the past. So many storytelling, friends that I haven't seen for years, people that I only knew through name, never really interacted with them. In this small space, we get to sit down in a circle, retell our stories, reminisce the back home, and also passing down the stories and some of this oral history to the younger generation. It's very interesting. As we gather this Ashna gathering every year, you would hear 17, 19-year-old young person would come up and ask, oh, I didn't know there was a basketball in Somalia. Women play too? That to me sometimes is shocking, because the Somalia they've watched from TV and they're know as of currently today, it's not one that women are able to wear shorts and play basketball and have teams and so forth. So we do spend some time sort of educating them and letting them know that life was completely different as we growing up that part of the world. And it was beautiful. And yes, we played basketball. And yes, we wore shorts. And yes, there were teams and we compete. And it was all kinds of, tournaments that we participated, whether it's the regional, whether it's the teams, whether it's a national. So those are the stories. Sometimes it feels like we lived in, 50, 60 years, even though it hasn't been that long, to sort of share with the young people. So it's very special.
This is really interesting, and there's almost no end in sight, because if your children are there now, I imagine that, that interaction will continue. And Abdi, what about you? What is the one thing that you take away from these interactions when you go? Who have you met? Who have you interacted with? And what's the one story that tells you or tells us how important it is for you to continue having these interactions as a community?
It's amazing. You never know who's coming. The first day when we just get together and look around who showed up, it's just unbelievable. And just to see my coach, who passed away now, Coach Abdi, who took care of me first, who gave me my first scholarship, almost to the one United States, who just came to sit at my door and get me there and say, you can be the basketball. So just, I have a chance to see him here before he passed away. It's just, that's amazing. That kept me going. And that's one thing that really keeps to me, this thing to get going. And also my wife, that who makes all the, we started with only six people. Here we are, we have 80, and she's making all the schedules and everything. And can't believe it how big it is. Hopefully we can continue doing this. And I really enjoy this. This is very important for us Africans and as Somalis, yes.
It's a wonderful place. We met people that I never thought of I'm going to meet them again. And then not only that, I met there even Abdi invited some of the American coaches that used to coach us, and we didn't know they're still alive, and we met them there. And then this place is not only for basketball, some of other, soccer players or the track and field players, for Somalia, they come there too. And whenever I go there and I see these players and this gathering, I almost tears come out my eyes. It's just because of memory.
Do you guys ever hope to go back to Somalia? Do you hope that you will one day call it home?
For me, every day, I when I came here to play basketball, I thought I'm going to finish my school and then ready to go back. It was amazing where I lived in Mogadishu and everywhere else. It was most beautiful, peaceful place. That's exactly what I want to do. And that's my dream someday to go back and back there. And I will advise, never lose the central command of any country, just keep, no matter how it is, but just keep that law and order, because that's just very important.
What about you, Safia?
Yeah, I'm a heart in a nomad. So someday I'm hoping to take my kids and my family and to show them the streets that I grew up and where I went elementary and middle school. Yes, the future is very bright and hopeful, but I don't know when. But yeah. In mind, when you ask me, are you going to go back someday? That is yes, 100%, not knowing when, home is always where I was born. And that's even after all these years in the U.S., I don't know if you know about Somalis, when people ask you, you're like, where are you from? The first thing that comes to mind for me would be, I'm a Somali. I'm a Somali by heart, regardless of what part of the world that I live. So yes, I will go back someday, God willingly.
And very briefly, what about your Bukarshino? You know?
Well, I never intended to live outside of Somalia, even though I knew what was the life of some of other countries, because we were playing for the national team and then we were going a different country every year. But I never dreamed going, you know, outside of Somalia and living there. But it is what it is. So we live here now, and this is where I live. It's a good country, thanks to God. And also, I am thinking about Somalia all the time, and I hope I will go back one day.
A big thank you to Abukar Shino, Abdiaziz Gulet, and Safia Omar for sharing their incredible stories with us today. Africa Daily is a BBC World Service production, and my producer today was Angie Olosunde, with editors Melinda Zekri and Simon Peaks. Don't forget to check out our sister podcast, Focus on Africa, for in-depth stories every afternoon. And if you have thoughts to share, reach out to us, africadaily@bbc.co.uk, or just come find me on X, where my handle is @Kasuja. And that's with two J's. Thank you for listening.